Hey, welcome everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Ecosystem Aces. I'm Chip Rogers, CMO at Workspan, and really excited today to be talking to Kaushal Vora from Renesas. Kaushal, welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Chip. It's a pleasure being on your podcast.
Yeah, and gosh, you know, a big week for Renesas and for the ecosystem. You know, you guys had an announcement earlier this week about the Renesas Ready Partner Network and growing the network, and you're up to, I think, 200 partners and a lot of joint solutions. We'll talk a lot about all of those things. Renesas is just a leader in the industrial IoT and sort of creating semiconductors, which is the backbone of how everything actually works. The software is just kind of lays on top. But Kaushal has been in starting back with a master's in electrical engineering, and then you were with Cypress Semiconductor for about 7 years, and been with Renee for 9 years now. And I think it seems like you sort of started with a more of a technical background, with engineering degree, and then you kind of moved into this sort of marketing and ecosystems and kind of bringing everybody together. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that journey as well.
Absolutely.
Kaushal, maybe we could start with, tell us a little bit about what you and your team are up to at Renesas.
Sure, absolutely. Before we go into, what my team and I do at Renesas, maybe I'll spend a couple of minutes just introducing who Renesas is, right? Because, we're going to be, I understand this podcast is viewed by a fairly diverse audience, across different industry sectors. So probably good to get them oriented in terms of what Renesas does. So Renesas is in the semiconductor space. We're one of the leading providers of semiconductor solutions. We make chipsets, right? Digital compute chipsets that go into various edge as well as endpoint applications inside the IoT. We serve primarily the industrial and automotive markets. And then we also have a whole host of solutions in the analog mixed signal power timing space. So basically, whenever you're building a product, there's a lot of semiconductor content that goes into that product, whether it's, how do you power your product? How do you clock your product? How do you do the compute inside your product? And how do you basically sense, the world outside? All of that happens through, semiconductor technologies. And Renesas has a very diverse and broad portfolio of semiconductors that are used in IoT and automotive applications. My focus, I am inside Renesas's industrial and infrastructure business unit. So that's about half the company. And we primarily focus, in the compute space, right? These are, not your high performance compute that you will see in data centers and, in the cloud, but these are really constrained devices that are embedded pretty much everywhere around us, right? Your microwave has a few of them, your refrigerator has them. Industrial pumps have them, robots have them, anywhere you need to do a dedicated task and you don't need a general purpose multitasking computer, like an Intel processor, for example, is where, Renesas plays, right? And then we also have applications that are in the gateway, which is where basically data gets aggregated at the edge before, it might get shipped up to the cloud, or it could get, communicated at different parts of the network. So that's kind of what
like out in cell towers, maybe, or something like that sort of thing. Is that the
correct? Yeah. We're primarily and traditionally a semiconductor player, but whenever somebody has to take our chips and build something out of it, right? They have to write code, right? They're basically writing firmware. Basically enabling certain functionality. So say you're building, a smart washing machine, for example, right? You need to write firmware to basically control the core functionality of the washing machine, right? Which is basically, spinning the motors to, turn the the load and stuff like that, and then the control panel of the washing machine in terms of how the user interacts with the machine. But these days, you know, devices are getting smarter, right? You know, you might think, oh, what if I could speak to the washing machine, right? Can I take a, how can I enable my washing machine to understand voice commands and potentially respond to me? You know, if I'm a maker of washing machines, I might worry about, okay, is there a way in which I could build intelligence and machine learning into the washing machine to predict that my washing machine is going to break before it actually breaks, right? That gives an enhanced user experience. It also allows me to streamline my overall business model around maintenance. And I can be more proactive about maintaining my equipment in the field and therefore providing just a better user experience, right? You know, I might say, okay, I want to take away all the mechanical buttons in the washing machine, but I want to have a nice touch panel, which I can just touch, right? So now you're talking about, okay, you need something that has rich graphics. So you might need some software that enables rich graphics on your washing machine. And then, oh, by the way, I want to connect my washing machine, you know, to the home network so I can control it, perhaps using my phone or something like that. Or it could be sending data back to the OEM that has made the washing machine. So now I need some connectivity modules and some connectivity stacks. So what I'm trying to say is whenever somebody is building a system, you know, the hardware is the foundation of that. But what really drives engineering resources is the software complexity, right? And everything, you know, we're just so spoiled by our iPhones and our smartphones. We expect everything to be like an iPhone in terms of its use and in terms of its multitasking capability, in terms of its intelligence. So, you know, there's this constant push to start making things smarter, more intelligent, and things that were, you know, traditionally dumb are starting to embed more and more intelligence and more functionality. What that means is often customers and engineering teams are faced with, you know, build versus buy decisions, right? Because not everybody has, you know, the experience working with, you know, 8 or 9 different types of technologies that have to come together to actually put something together. So they're constantly looking for software, commercial grade software that they can actually put into their system. And that allows them to really work on their secret sauce in terms of, okay, what differentiates their product from somebody else, right? So that's where the need for a rich software ecosystem comes into place. And typically, our customers look to companies like us that are providing these foundational hardware technologies to provide a rich ecosystem of software around our products so that, you know, if they have access to this ecosystem, they have options in terms of, okay, if I want a communication stack or if I want a graphics package or, you know, if I want something else, I have different options I can pull from. And by the way, these have been tested to work with, you know, with our products. And these are partners that Renesas has already pre-vetted, right? So we have trusted relationships with these partners. And that's where the power of the ecosystem comes together. The real value of the ecosystem is to reduce the customer's time to market and accelerate their time to revenue, basically. And that's kind of our philosophy on the ecosystem side. So my team, you know, very long answer, but I thought it was important to take an example and kind of set the stage. What my team does is we're technology scouts. We basically scout partners in across different a broad range of technologies in the IoT space that specialize in often very, very, very narrow things, but they're specialists in whatever they do, right? And basically, we've built this holistic ecosystem, as Chip pointed out, over the last 3 years that has now over 200 different partners, you know, that offer, you know, hundreds of solutions to pick from.
That's a great introduction, Kaushal. I think it's interesting as you're talking. It's you know, there are first of all, I'm fascinated just by the whole space. You know, it is interesting how many similarities there are with the sort of enterprise software, you know, startup B2B SaaS, you know, world that we typically operate in, which is, you know, you're better together, right? It's like, it's sort of like we've got certain technology, we're really good at it, but then we have a set of partners that are really good at what they do. And together we, you know, can deliver, you know, just great value to our shared customers, right? To their, and their customers of ours, because we've got the underlying hardware, customers of theirs, because they've got the software and this unique solution. So interesting that that it's so vital to the, and for you guys, it's like, it's sort of like there's a plain vanilla platform sort of thing.
Right.
Well, I mean, you've got obviously things that differentiate you from your competitors, but it's a piece of hardware, right? It's like, there's no, like you said, there's no sort of business until you build the right software on top of it and have a use case like the washing machine.
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, our products are, as you said, our products are a blank slate, right? They can pretty much be programmed to do any compute function, right? Whether you're controlling a motor inside a robotic arm, or you're, you know, controlling a bunch of sensors inside of a weather station that's you know, understanding, you know, the local climate around, or you're monitoring certain, you know, sensors for air quality, for example, right? Or, you know, you have your device that is spotting certain keywords that you're saying, okay, hey, you know, GE microwave, wake up, right? So that you know, we have, you know, any dedicated compute task, basically you need a microcontroller, right? These days, cars have, you know, anywhere from, you know, 50 to 200 different microcontrollers doing very dedicated tasks, right? And exactly, I mean, the ecosystem not only allows us to functionalize these parts in a more realistic way, they also allow us, you know, we're not there to reinvent the wheel. We can't do everything ourselves. And the same thing is there with customers. Mm-hmm. Customers can't build everything by themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this adds, you know, instant credibility in terms of, okay, if I use this piece of software, I know it is commercial grade because this company is dedicated its resources and its entire business around building this piece of software, right? So it's going to be much higher quality than, you know, me trying to build it myself or Renesas claiming that, you know, they've done it, you know, because we're not going to trust a hardware company to build software. I mean, that's you know, so I think the ecosystem really excels in that space. And as you said, it's no different, you know, in the enterprise space, right? In the end, for something to come together, it's usually a marriage of hardware and software that has to happen, and this just, you know, helps accelerate that entire thing, right?
I'm just curious. So tell me, Kaushal, tell me about the announcement.
Sure. I mean, so you know, our ecosystem journey started about 3 years ago, right? When we started realizing that, okay, this is a real problem, right? Customers are, you know, the pace of technology and the pace of innovation, you know, has moved at such a rapid rate that, you know, if we don't do something about building a strong ecosystem around our products, customers are going to just struggle to use them, and customers is going to struggle to keep up with what the market needs are. Right. And it's funny because I am an end user of these devices too, right? And you know, sure. You know, if it's not going to meet my requirements, then, you know, why would I redesign it? Right. You know, it began 3 years ago when this started, you know, when the IoT started becoming more mature. What we've done is we've systematically built that ecosystem, you know, around some of the critical trends that are happening in the marketplace. The latest announcement that we made, you know, this month, you know, we grew our ecosystem pretty much, you know, back in 2019, pre-COVID, with about 20 partners to almost 200 partners. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the key things that's driving growth right now in the ecosystem is this trend where we're seeing a lot of intelligence being pushed at the edge and at the endpoint, right? If you think about the IoT, it's a network of connected devices, right? So the focus and the emphasis was a lot around connectivity and business models that could leverage the benefits of a connected network, right? But all of the intelligence inside the IoT typically resided in the cloud, because that's where all the data was sent centrally, and that's where all the data analysis would happen centrally, and all the decisions would then get piped through the network. What we're seeing now, the IoT is maturing, AI itself is maturing, and we're also seeing this big trend in 5G, where the connectivity between different devices is moving at a fascinating pace. Mm-hmm. And the compute itself that you can now have at much lower power and efficiency is significantly higher than what you could do 3 years ago, right? It's Moore's law, right? So what we're seeing now is, you know, dumb devices that were connected to just sense and send data up in the cloud are no longer dumb devices. People are now thinking, okay, why do I need to centralize all my intelligence in the cloud? Why don't I distribute it across the network, right? Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot of distribution of intelligence at the edge and at the endpoints. And that's where a lot of our ecosystem is evolving right now, is partners that can provide, you know, critical building blocks for AI and machine learning in highly constrained environments, right? Mm-hmm. In fact,
Tell me about that, because you sure. mentioned that before. You said, you know, highly constrained environment. So let's dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so the processor on your cell phone is, you know, now running at, you know, say a couple gigahertz. You know, it's it has very large resource pool, right? It can have megabytes of memory, or in fact the actual memory on these phones can be anywhere from, you know, 128 gigabytes to up to 1 terabyte these days, right? Mm-hmm. That's because your phone is doing a lot more than just being a phone. It's doing pretty much everything and anything that you can think of. When we say constrained devices, right, these are devices that are not multitasking or doing things as much as a phone would be doing. They're doing very, very specific tasks. So you could go anywhere from, you know, you take the gigahertz down to kilohertz, right? These are anywhere from 16 to 200 kilohertz in terms of the clock speed of these devices. And you take now 1 terabyte or 256 gigabytes and you take it down to 2 megabytes, right? So it's thousands of orders lower in terms of the resourcing that you have, in terms of the compute power that you have on these devices. And now we are talking about running intelligence models on these devices, or machine learning models on these devices, to do things like, you know, classification, detection of certain voice signatures, for example. You could be doing detecting anomalies, monitoring machine behavior. You could be predicting when something is going to fail. So, you know, often the challenge for us is trying to do too much within the resource constraints that we have. And that's where the creativity in the engineering comes in. And that's where these partners really excel, is because they know how to squeeze every ounce of performance from that particular device and make it more and more useful.
Interesting. So when you were saying constrained, I was thinking of sort of constrained in like the size, right? Because it's got to be a small sort of, but it's more than that, right?
It's absolutely constrained in size, right? These are, you know, these are heavily constrained in physical size, but they're also constrained in compute. They're constrained in the amount of physical memory that they have on it. And you know, they're constrained in every which way in which they can function.
Yeah.
You know, they're typically running off of batteries, right? They're not wall powered. Right. So you also have to be very careful in terms of how much power you're sucking through a battery, because that's going to dictate how long they're going to be alive for, right?
Interesting. So I would think that then the ecosystem is, and I love this, the term that you used earlier, they're technology scouts, right? Which is like, who's out there, you know,
right?
Who's got some really interesting applications or some, you know, some technology that we can work with and can bring customers. I would think that they are also very unique. And you talked about, you know, automotive, industrial IoT, and the, you know, those, but I would think that they're very sort of unique into industrial specific industries, right? So
Yes and no, right? So there could be certain types of partners that might focus on, say, certain communication protocols that are only used in a smart factory, right? That becomes really, really specific, right? Because that stuff cannot be used anywhere outside a factory. On the other hand, you know, there are partners that build, that provide tools to automate building machine learning, or they might provide tools that might allow you to build a graphics package. Now, the application of that, those kind of technologies, is broad, right? It could go into, you know, a smart city application. It could go into a healthcare application. It could go into a smart home application. It could go into an industrial application. So some of these span fairly horizontally. And that's the reason we don't build, we do have partnerships that are very narrow and focused in a few vertical markets, mm-hmm. but we typically focus on the technology axis, like connectivity, cloud, mm-hmm. security, mm-hmm. safety, AI and machine learning. And focusing on the technology axis gives us a lot of breadth across different marketplaces.
Interesting. So what you talked about some of the trends. That's sort of counterintuitive, but interesting. I understand based on, because now you have partners that can apply to multiple applications and verticals. So that's really interesting. I forgot what you were talking about.
I mean, one of the things that I know we had chatted on before was, you know, business models with partners, right? And I think it was very interesting for me. It was very educational for me when you brought up certain ways in which you go, you partner, right? So typically, right, given that we're such a large player in the semiconductor space, we typically partner with a co-sell approach, right? Where we basically the partner and us either, you know, we refer each other into a particular customer opportunity, and then the customer has an independent relationship between the two companies. But you know, we go in with a joint solution demonstration or a joint solution proposal because you know we've worked with each other as part of the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing in terms of our ecosystem journey has been although we're building this very broad ecosystem, we've also felt the need to go deeper in certain areas where, you know, we see a lot of growth. So, you know, we call that, you know, building selective depth in our ecosystem, right? And by depth, what I mean is the level of investment we might make with that partner technology, or we might offer a more integrated business model with that partner, either a sell through or a white label type of a model, or an IP buyout or something like that, where Renesas mm-hmm. then becomes the one-stop shop for a customer, right? And that is very interesting because, you know, sometimes customers are also reluctant to work, you know, with a company that is not, you know, that has only 5 people and is not very well resourced, and they get nervous about going to production with these companies, right? So in that case, you know, we also offer some of these integrated business models where Renesas actually stands in front of the customer, so the customer doesn't have to worry about, you know, dealing with multiple players. Mm-hmm. The other thing that has come out of the ecosystem is we also have started an incubation function. And we actually acquired a company not so long ago, less than 6 months ago, called Reality AI. And these guys were part of our ecosystem. And, we saw a lot of traction. We saw a lot of pull from the market. They had very unique technology, and we definitely knew that 1 + 1 would be 3 or more with these guys. And, you know, we ended up acquiring them. That also is, our ecosystem is also somewhat of a driving function into, our software M&A strategy, for example, being a hardware player.
Interesting. So some of your partners... I love that. You just have different models, right? Mm-hmm. Where some are sort of pure co-sell, some are, you know, where you're actually being the front end, and then some you actually just buy them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's going to be the future. I mean, one of the challenges with IoT, especially when you start going more towards the users, is the diversity and fragmentation in IoT works against, it makes things more confusing, right? There's just so many people doing so many different things in so many different mm-hmm. ways.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think it's up to some extent, it's up to the semiconductor players, because we're a fairly consolidated industry. to actually build these cohesive ecosystems and then provide these vetted options to customers.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I just feel, you know, if I was on I was on the developer side, I would just be overwhelmed all the time in terms of, okay, you know, where do I go
for something? Right. How do I start?
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. So do you, how do you bring the ecosystem to your customers?
Sure.
Are you educating the sales team? Are you like, how do the customers find out about what are, you know, the different applications that, that your ecosystem can provide?
Sure. We have different models and we have different ways in which we take the ecosystem out to market. We have a pretty comprehensive go-to-market model. One of the key elements of that is a dedicated ecosystem portal. So if you go to renesas.com/renesas-ready, you know, this is an entire portal dedicated to our partners. You know, when you go to that, you know, you get on the main page, you can learn about our ecosystem philosophy. And then there are dedicated links to product-specific ecosystems. Because we have such a lot, so we have an umbrella brand for our overall partner network, and then we have product-specific ecosystems. So if a customer is looking to go build something with a specific product, he clicks on that link. Say, for example, we have a product line called RA, Renesas RA. So we have an RA Ready, you know, a sub-brand under it. So if you go on RA Ready, then what opens up is a list of partners that are categorized by different technologies. Now, if I'm interested in artificial intelligence, I click on the artificial intelligence link and it gives me a catalog of partners that I could tap into. And for every partner, for every solution that a partner offers, we provide them a dedicated web page. And that page provides a quick snapshot of what the technology is, what are the benefits, a block diagram. You know, we like to think in terms of block diagrams because we're hardware engineers and engineers that are building stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So a block diagram showing, you know, how this technology works, and then what are some of the hot applications where we think this technology fits. And then we provide a bunch of immersive content, whether it's videos or design journeys or full-blown labs, webinars and things like that, in terms of how we can use this technology, right? So, you know, if we have 300 solutions, we have 300 dedicated web pages, one corresponding to every solution in our ecosystem, right?
Yeah.
So that's how we go broad with our ecosystem. Then we also have a business development organization, which, is basically feet on the ground, helping salespeople sell when they have to sell with a great amount of depth, right? Because, a lot of our products are catalog products. You can open up and look at the specs and pick the product that fits, right? If you want to, power a 5-volt battery, you know, there's only so much you can do. These are 5 products. You pick one of them and it'll work. But now if you want to build a product that you have to program to do some specific tasks, it's a lot more depth there in terms of selling and understanding what the product has and how it can be used. So we have a business development organization on the compute side that helps sales in the field to actually sell, and also helps customers architect with our products. So all of those business development team members are thoroughly trained in our ecosystem. They understand the different types of options that are available in our ecosystem. And when they are jointly architecting or brainstorming with customers or problem solving with customers, understanding customer pain points, it's very easy for them to say, okay, oh, by the way, you're looking for a graphics package. Here are 4 options, and these are the differences between these options. And, you know, that's how the, you know, the ecosystem is actually driven through our business development team.
Yeah.
And sales.
Amazing. Amazing. That's really cool. Kaushal, this has been fantastic. Gosh, I really appreciate you, helping us all understand, how ecosystem, you know, a lot, we talked to a lot of, you know, software and, services organizations, and you're like purely right in there in hardware, and even a lot of hardware companies that have traditionally been hardware companies are kind of saying, well, we're really a software company. But yeah, you guys are just like, I mean, it's, I love that. And you're building the ecosystem to create the business value around it. That's yeah. Fantastic. I'm curious, maybe you have, I love to ask, you've been doing, you know, partnering for a long time. Any advice that you would have for any, you know, our audience are all, you know, partner folks, anything that has helped you along the way and you sort of apply or talk to team about when they're working with partners.
Right. I mean, one of the things that I have learned, right, is you know, in the end, even though the ecosystem is really designed to get business and take care of customers, don't forget to take care of your partners, right? Mm. At least in our space, a lot of these partners are smaller companies that are, you know, looking for a platform, you know, to get their products out to market. And one of the things we are very conscious about and are proactively doing is making sure that we take care of our partners. And, mm-hmm. you know, when things work, when things don't work, giving that closed loop feedback and having that constant engagement, I think helps us build a very healthy ecosystem around us, right? So although, you know, sometimes, you know, you build something with a partner and then you just get busy, you know, selling it, don't forget the partner, right? Always go back and make sure that you're constantly innovating and looking at what the partner is doing. And that building that community feel, you know, I think is very critical. And I think that's one thing, you know, I didn't come from an ecosystem background, right? And that's one thing I have learned, you know, in the last couple of years since I've been doing ecosystem at Renesas is, you know, the power of the community and always take care of the community.
So true. Yeah. Fantastic. Really great way to end our conversation and such good advice. I think that's true for all, you know, all partner people. You know, you really got to make sure that you're helping your partners and see it as a community around the company. So Kaushal, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. You know, yeah, it's been a pleasure, you know, being part of your podcast and I think it's really great what you guys are doing is bringing the community of ecosystems together. Right. And I think there's a lot we can learn from each other. So, you know, I'm definitely going to be, you know, in the audience for future podcasts. So
thank fantastic. You. Great. Kaushal, thank you. And thank you all for joining another episode of Ecosystem Aces. For Kaushal Vora, I'm Chip Rogers. And thanks for joining. And we'll see you at the next Ecosystem Aces. Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Kaushal.
Workspan is the category leader for Ecosystem Cloud, where alliance, channel, and ecosystem leaders connect, co-create, co-market, co-sell, measure, and scale with their ecosystem partners in a single secure network to grow business together. To learn more, visit workspan.com.
You've been listening to Ecosystem Aces. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.